So we are continuing the series, Feeling the Way Jesus Felt, which is the Easter series, because we're talking about Easter stuff. But it's really, it's obviously everything we do, everything we talk about goes back to what Jesus said, what Jesus did, how Jesus set the example for us, the sacrifice that he made, the chances that he gives us to live for him, the chances that he gives us to have salvation. All of those things matter. But I want to continue to focus specifically on feeling how he felt. And we've talked about how it had to feel for him to know everything that was going to happen, not just to himself, but to his followers, and to see it all coming, and to try his best to metaphorically share with them and help them and guide them along the way. Because if you just walk up to somebody and tell them everything that's going to happen in their lives, most of the time they're going to think you're crazy and they're not going to listen. But even if they do listen, it's like you're kind of not giving them a choice anymore. Like you're taking away their free will, so to speak. So he didn't do that. So he spoke from the heart. He taught. He gave them all of his knowledge, all of his ability, everything that he had, but he still would have to know what was coming, and it had to be so hard to always be a little misunderstood. And then last week we talked about how he was betrayed twice within like 5 minutes, and this is after he had told the disciples three times, hey, stay awake and keep watch, I'm going to go pray for you guys, and I'm going to pray for myself, and he prayed to the point of crying blood. Like he prayed heavily, and it wasn't just highly for other people, that was a big part of it, but he also prayed because he wanted to stay with the people, with the humans. It's not that he wanted to give up the plan, it's not that he wanted to move away from God's will, because he trusted that and even says, your will be done, but he loved being around us, he loved helping us, he loved teaching, and he knew all of this was going to happen. And so right after that, Judas comes and betrays him, and it's not, Judas kind of sometimes becomes this characteristic villain, or this villain that's kind of, people always just kind of paint him as a one-dimensional villain, like nothing more than just, oh, Judas, he's the betrayer. But regardless of all of his flaws, he was with Jesus every day for 3 years. Like, he mattered to him. They were close. You can't be with someone every day for 3 years without having some kind of a relationship, some kind of a caring, some kind of an understanding. And so that was a big betrayal, even though he knew it was coming. But then more than that, I think, was when Peter went against everything that he had taught him, everything that he believed, and cut off a guy's ear and was willing to fight. And Jesus is like, we don't do that. And so following that, Jesus got arrested, taken away, and this was him making another sacrifice because he could have stopped it all. And so I want to go to John 19, 1 through 6. Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him. Hail, King of the Jews, they mocked as they slapped him across the face. Pilate went outside again and said to the people, I'm going to bring him out to you now, but understand clearly that I find him not guilty. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said, look, here is the man. When they saw him, the leading priests and temple guards began shouting, crucify him, crucify him. Take him yourselves and crucify him, Pilate said, I find him not guilty. So just for a second, since we're not talking about Pilate, I will touch on the fact he's trying to have his cake and eat it too. Like, he does not think Jesus is guilty. He talks to him a few times. He asks him questions. He thinks, Pilate's wife even tells him, hey, you need to stay away from this. And so Pilate's like, I don't want to be involved in this, but he's not willing to go far enough to free Jesus. He wants to not do anything bad, but he doesn't want to really take that step of courage. It's kind of like if you were with your friends and you're watching them just beat up Rob and just beat him hard, and you're just watching. You're like, well, I'm not doing it. I don't want this to happen to Rob, but you're not stopping it. You're not standing in the way because you don't want to get hurt. That's where Pilate is right now. And so... That's what he's doing. And so Jesus understands that, and he probably feels sorrow for him. But to be flogged with a lead-tipped whip, it's called like a cat of nine tails or something, and it's basically got metal in the nine whip parts. And so basically it goes down, sticks in your back, pulls up with bone and flesh, and they did that like 39 times. It takes like 40 times to kill somebody. So he was almost dead. They beat him almost to death. This is before he comes out. This is before he gets crucified. This is Pilate thinking he's innocent. He beats him almost to death. And then they mock him. So they put a crown of thorns on his head, which hurts a little bit. And then they put a robe on him and they slap his face and they make fun of him. So it's not just that they beat him. It's also that they then make fun of him and they hurt him. And this is a Jesus, this is a Savior who is doing this for them, who loves them, who has never done anything wrong, never said anything wrong to anybody. So imagine that you whether it's soccer, basketball, tennis, whatever your sport is, you're the hero of the day. Like, you win your match, you score 6 goals, and you stop 3 others, and you just nail everything, and you're the greatest player that's ever existed in that game. And after the game, instead of saying, hey, good job, your team makes fun of you. Like, man, why don't you try a little harder, try hard, or whatever. Like, they're just mocking you, and they're mocking you. And so you know that you're doing this for them. Like, you want to win for them. You want to help them. You want to do the right thing for them, but they're making fun of you. That's what's happening to Jesus. Like, he's literally saving these people's lives, and they're beating him, and they're making fun of him, and they're mocking him, and people are saying, crucify him. In other Gospels, it talks about the fact they choose a murderer over him to be saved. And all of this had to be as hard, if not harder, than the death itself. Obviously, the crucifixion hurt. And the whole point with crucifixion, we'll talk about in just a second, is you suffocate to death. Because essentially you're hanging here, and he had nails in his wrist, so he's hanging like this. And you're hanging there, and in order to breathe, you have to lift yourself up. And so that really hurts. You're putting a lot of strain on your body. You're tired because you've been there a long time. In his case, he's been beaten almost to death. He's probably not had a lot of food and water. And then when you let yourself down, it kind of like digs into your flesh more, and it's harder the next time to pull up. And so that's how people die being crucified. And so he knew all of this is coming, but while this is happening, he's also being mocked and also being spit on and also being slapped and also being hated and also being chosen against. So it's like you're sacrificing your life for somebody. You're about to take a bullet for your best friend, for your family. And again, they're not saying thank you. They're making fun of you while you're doing it. Now, a lot of us, I think, for the people we love most, would still do that, would be kind of hurt, but we'd still do it. We'd sacrifice ourselves for them. But he's also sacrificing himself for the people that are killing him, and for the people that don't know him, and for the people that haven't been born yet. And while he's doing that, his thanks that he's getting is a crown of thorns. His thanks that he's getting is a whip to the back. His thanks that he's getting is people shouting, crucify him. And yet he keeps doing it. And so I'm setting the stage for the crucifixion because all of this is happening. It would be bad enough if he is arrested as an innocent man and did nothing and he's put to death. That's happened before. It sucks. It's hard. But he was beaten first, and then he was killed. And all of these things are happening. People are mocking him. People are slapping him. People are making fun of him. All of these things are on top of him while he's going to the cross, while he's going to sacrifice himself. Going to that part, John 19:17-30. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called Place of the Skull, in Hebrew Golgotha. There they nailed him to the cross. 2 others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people could read it. Then the leading priests objected and said to Pilate, change it from the King of the Jews to he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate took a token stand here and said, no, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the 4 of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in one place from the top to the bottom. So they said, rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for us. This fulfilled the scripture that said, they divided my garments among themselves, and threw dice for my clothing. So that is what they did. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, which is John, he said to her, dear woman, here is your son. And he said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from then on, the disciple took her into his home. So basically, he's being mocked. He's being hurt. They're playing gambling games for his clothes. They're making fun of him, mocking him, satirizing him, everything that he said. He's been beaten almost to death. He's been hurt. He's been betrayed by the people closest to him. He's watching his mother watch him die. And you can only imagine what she's doing. Like, she's got to be crying. John is really close to him. They were like brothers. And Mary Magdalene, he had saved her life in so many ways. And so she cared a lot. And all of these people, he's watching them. And yet his thought is of them. He's like, hey, take care of each other. Hey, I love you so much. While he's dying, imagine what it takes for that. Now, another gospel, which I didn't read, but which you've probably heard before, the 2 criminals that it mentioned hanging next to him, one of them mocks him. So he's dying, and one of them's like, hey, if you're really who you say you are, get down from here and let's go have some fun. Like, let's go save ourselves. Let's take these people apart. And the other criminal is like, dude, what are you doing? Like, he's done nothing to be here. We deserve it. And then he looks to Jesus and says, hey, will you please remember me when you're in paradise? And there are people probably that will question that and be like, but he didn't ask for forgiveness and he didn't believe in Jesus. He shows all of that in what he said. He showed that he believed who he was. He defended him. He publicly made a statement to him. He said, remember me in paradise. And Jesus is like, that's done. You're going to join me. Again, this is while he is dying, while he is being beaten, while he is being mocked. And on the way there, he says, Father, forgive them. The people that are killing him, he asks for forgiveness. Imagine the most betrayed you've ever felt, the hurt, most hurt you've ever felt, the saddest you've ever felt. You've been left out of something. You've been broken up with. You've been rejected. Whatever it is, imagine the worst that's ever felt. And then imagine how hard it is to not treat other people like garbage. Like, hurt people hurt people. We've talked about that before. And so a lot of times when we're rejected, when we're hurt, we'll feel sorry for ourselves, which is natural. Like, we have to go through that a little bit. And we'll usually separate ourselves from everybody and be like, I don't want to talk, etc. And that's fine. But we'll also sometimes kind of lash out and be like, shut up, I don't want to hear from you. Or you don't know what it's like, or whatever. Jesus had worse than any of us have ever faced. And he's asking, hey, forgive these people that just did it. Imagine the person that hurt you the most. Immediately you're like, hey, forgive them. Like, it's so hard because we're so upset and we're so hurt. And we usually have done things that kind of at least cause us to deserve it a little bit. Because we mess up, because we say the wrong things, because we do the wrong things at times. Jesus never did. He just showed love, just showed help, just healed people. And through all of that, he's thanked with murder, thanked with betrayal, thanked with beating, thanked with mocking. All of this stuff is happening, and yet he cares about his mom, and he cares about John, and he cares about the people that are doing it, and he cares about all of the people in the world. And it's so insane. More than the willingness to sacrifice himself, the fact that he continued to show love and grace to everybody through the hardest times of his life shows exactly who he is and shows exactly who we're supposed to be. The last part of the scripture in this gospel is, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill the scripture, he said, I am thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So he died. He literally died for people. And had that been it, people would have been like, man, Jesus is amazing. He died for his followers, and he died for people to have a chance. He died even though he didn't have to. But when you look at everything he went through, even just in that time, it's like he went through more than any of us ever have to, and he did that on purpose. He went through it because he knows our lives are going to suck sometimes, and he knows we're going to go through difficult times. He knows we're going to struggle. He knows we're going to be hurt. He knows we're going to be rejected. He knows we're going to feel all of those things, not to the level of being beaten almost to death, hopefully, but he knows we're going to go through hard times. He knew his followers would. And so he set an example of what it's like to go through it. He showed that no matter what happens to you, nobody can change who you are. You're the only one that has that power to change who you are. So how you treat other people, you can make excuses, you can have reasons, but it comes down to who are you and how they treat you. If it sucks, it sucks. And that's hard. And I wish that everybody would treat everybody like they wanted to be treated. But Jesus died so that we would treat others like we want to be treated, so that we would act like Jesus in these days, so we would go beyond the rejection, so we would be able to feel it. And here's the thing, we're human and sometimes we're going to fail at that. Like, absolutely in my life, and I'm sure Rob could back this up too, absolutely in my life, there have been times that I've been hurt and I have lashed out at people. There have been times that I've wanted to give up. There have been times that it's been hard for me to show grace. But we just learn from that and move on. And we look to Jesus and we see what he did and how he did it for us. And not just that he died for us and not just that he set an example for us, but he went through unimaginable suffering for us to show us that it's possible to still be ourselves, to still show grace, to still show love, to still show forgiveness, to still show him to other people. And that's what Easter is about. It's not just about having a wonderful day with a lot of service, a lot of worship, and cool stuff about a cross and all this resurrection stuff, which we will talk about next week, which is important. But it's about what he went through before that, the pain that he went through before that, because without that, the joy doesn't mean as much. It would be awesome if to be a Christian meant nothing bad ever happened to us. But then we wouldn't appreciate what other people go through. Like, we wouldn't appreciate life. We'd just be like, hey, everything's good all the time. And there are people that are really rich and really powerful that do feel like that a lot. And they kind of have everything going for them. And so it's hard for them to understand what all of us go through. They're called politicians mostly. But it's hard for them to understand what we go through. And so we don't want to be like that. We want to be like him. And he is more powerful, more important, more special than anyone in the history of time. And yet he went through worse than the worst of us ever go through. And he did it to show us the way, to show us the path to him, to show us the path to more, and to show us how to show others who he is. And so that's what we have to do. It's not just Easter time. It's not just Christmas time. It's all the time. We get to be like him. And we do our best. We learn from our mistakes, and we help others to do the same. That's all I got.